Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And a welcome to Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity is back today. And Jim, you know, we've been lamenting over the past several weeks that it's been a very slow process of folks getting into the Republican presidential field. But over the past few days, we've seen a little bit of noise about folks starting exploratory committees, which is basically their way of saying for the first time that they're going to run for president, and they'll do it officially later. We saw Tim Pawlenty do it via Facebook earlier in the week. We've heard rumblings that Mitt Romney might do it soon. And now Michelle Bachmann, many had wondered whether or not she would be getting in, whether or not she and Sarah Palin could occupy the same space, because a lot of folks think they kind of appeal to the same demographics. But it looks like Michelle Bachmann is at least going to test the waters here, if not make the full plunge like some of these others are clearly going to. Got to be good news for those who like her and good news for those who want a lot of options in the field.
Yeah, and let me put it this way. This is not somebody who writes the campaign spot saying he wants to write about campaign stuff as early as possible. I understand people's exhaustion, having we, you know, feel like we the midterms just ended. I understand candidates need to take their time to think about this, to sort it out, to decide whether they really want to go through with this. I want to give candidates as much time as possible. But in particular with some of the really big names, I mean, Palin is up there. I think you could put Huckabee in that category. I think you could put Mitch Daniels in that category. You're seeing people kind of gravitating towards these figures, whether or not they're going to run. And if any of them decide in the end, all right, maybe I don't want to do this, I can see that scrambling the race, you know, at some point down the road. And so this part of it kind of feels like if you're not going to run, let people know early. Don't lead anybody on. Don't flirt with it because you want more book sales or bigger crowds or more press attention or anything like that. There's a part of me that's felt, you know, don't do the Mario Cuomo Hamlet routine, to be or not to be, et cetera. So my sense is that Michelle Bachmann, kind of an unlikely candidate in a lot of ways. You know, it's very tough for House members to run for president. Certainly, she has a very high media profile. We all remember her giving a separate Tea Party response to the State of the Union, pugnacious as they come, and a lot of conservatives are going to love this. There are other folks who look at her and say, you know what, she's a great bomb thrower, but she's not commander-in-chief material. I think her entry is going to make kind of concentrate the minds of a lot of these folks who've been thinking about it, and they're going to be folks who are either going to say, all right, well, if Bachmann's in, I got to get in, or they're going to say, you know what, I don't want to get into this. Then, you know, I shouldn't pretend any longer. I think most notably, I think, as you alluded to, it'd be interesting to see Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin running in a contest against each other, because their profiles and styles seem very similar. And obviously, they've said very nice things about each other in the past. Hard to believe they wouldn't be on good terms. But at the same time, they're basically appealing to the exact same GOP primary voter. So one, it'll be interesting to see how those primary voters split. And then two, does Bachmann's decision, you know, kind of get the ball rolling on Palin's decision? Certainly there are signs Palin is running. And then every once in a while you get the feeling, oh, maybe she isn't going to run. So I see a couple benefits of some of the less likely candidates making their declarations official. I don't want to see a lot of frustrated GOP primary voters out there who were going to say, well, I was going to vote for this candidate, but then at the last minute they decided not to run.
You're right in suggesting that I think that Michelle Bachmann probably wouldn't be a top-tier Republican presidential hopeful, but her district is not that far from the Iowa border. We know that her profile would be one that would be pretty appealing, especially if Palin and Huckabee don't get in the race. So she could show very well in Iowa, even if she doesn't win. And as we learned with Huckabee 3 years ago, that might not necessarily pave the way for any great wins down the road, but at least it could make you a major player in how things shake out down the road. So it'll be very interesting to see what Michelle Bachmann eventually decides to do here, and like you said, how it impacts Sarah Palin's choices and perhaps the choices of some others as well. On to Martini number two now, and no surprise, we're back on Libya. Yesterday, Kevin Williamson and I talked about just how the coalition seemed to be falling apart and everything that was seeming to be on paper to be a very swift operation, quick transfer of authority, yada yada yada. Well, not so much happening now. And now we have the bold proclamation from President Obama that no matter what happens, there will be no American boots on the ground. And I think just about everyone would very much like to see no boots on the ground in Libya. But it's just so bizarre, Jim, and perhaps this could be a third martini on a different day. But the president would go out there and explicitly say what we're not going to do. So in other words, if our current efforts don't yield the results we want to, well, I'm not really sure what we're going to do then, but we're not going to do this. And that's really got to be really frightening to Muammar Gaddafi, given what he's already done.
You know, Greg, as you're saying that and you hear the policy of no boots on the ground from the president, Greg, the pilot who was shot down, was he wearing sandals, bare feet, perhaps doing the kind of that John McClane in Die Hard routine? Because his boots were on the ground and the guys who rescued him put some boots on the ground. So there is no such thing as a purely air power oriented combat operation, because things go wrong, planes have accidents, bad guys get to shoot them down sometimes. Thank goodness it only happened once, but you know, at any point then you need to do a search and rescue operation. We forget that I believe it was during the Balkan Wars, Scott O'Grady was spent 9 days on the ground behind enemy lines, patrolling a no-fly zone, which sounds awfully familiar to those of us watching this. So the idea that the president thinks he can, you know, draw these kinds of distinctions. What he means is, you know, there is no planned U.S. invasion of Libya, which is fine. I don't think many Americans would really want that to go forward. It just does feel like this is spiraling out of control. And I think the single most disturbing thing I've thought about in the last 24 hours is this notion of what happens if the U.S. military operations end, and Muammar Gaddafi is still in power. I mean, this is a guy who's already blown up airliners over Lockerbie, Scotland, was threatening to do so right before the coalition air campaign began. We'd be leaving the mad dog of the Middle East in power with access to weapons, with access to money, and a whole big, you know, network of terrorists. You're telling me the mad dog's not going to try to get revenge upon us? You know, and if Gaddafi does decide to execute terror attacks against us, well, I guess we're going to have to invade them, aren't we? We'll be right back to square one again. So it was all triggered by a interesting essay in The American Interest. It was spotlighted in the corner by Rich Lowry, and it's just a depressing scenario short of getting rid of Gaddafi. And so whether or not Obama wants to say this, apparently in Politico he was saying with the right political reforms, Gaddafi could stay in power, which strikes – I'm trying to imagine, you know, short of a gun to his own head, I can't imagine what kind of political reform I want to see out of Gaddafi. We cannot leave him in power, or else we will come to regret it in some terrible, terrible way. So whether, you know, President Obama likes it or not, he is now at war with Libya. And that sounds like a good segue to the third martini, Greg.
Absolutely it is. The only other thing I was going to say there is that the only thing he said decisively in the past several days is that he's not giving back his Nobel Peace Prize. So it's good that we got an answer to that. But as you mentioned, yes, we are not at war with Libya. We are engaged in kinetic military action, according to the president's own advisors here, because apparently the word war is going to scare the American people more than a completely incoherent plan to succeed in this current military operation.
Oh, you know, Greg, they say kinetic military operations are hell. And when I see really depressing, crazy, Orwellian language like this, I just need to unwind, Greg. So I popped in that famous U2 album, Kinetic Military Action, and came out in 83. I think I'm watching a movie later, maybe one of the George Lucas films, the Star Kinetic Military Actions, or maybe other sci-fi, you know, Kinetic Military Action of the Worlds. I mean, this is now, like, this administration started with man-caused disasters instead of terror attacks and the overseas contingency operations instead of war on terror. This really should bother people about the president and the people around him, that when in a tough spot, we used to call this Clintonian, and I kind of feel like the feeling that Bill Clinton is looking at this and shaking his head and saying, that guy's an amateur. Because it's you know, is anybody buying the idea? Relax, we're not at war. We're just in a kinetic military action. All right, everybody calm down. You know, I just don't believe this. Even by their standards, this is pretty lame. This is, you know, just a suggestion that they haven't thought this through. And they kind of treat this as it feels very much like the campaign, that if they spin this well enough, everything will go away. And they're not campaigning anymore. They are literally, they're at war, Greg, or I guess you'd say they're at
kinetic military action.
KMA.
This is like the absolute personification of their perceived intellectual elitism here. And basically, when they bust out ridiculous lines like this, the obvious response from the American people ought to be, just how stupid do you people think we are? Jim, great to have you back today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.